I'm going to introduce Gus. Come on up. You ready? Come on up. So Gus and Terry Craven, they're our Sons of God missionaries to intercultural missions. They're here based in South Dakota. And Gus, how long has Crosspoint supported you? Do you know?
For many years.
Many years? Okay, that's okay. That's what I thought. It's been a good while. But Gus is going to bring the message today, give us an update of what's going on up there. And welcome, Gus Craven.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The importance of Speed the Light. We were a recipient of a Speed the Light vehicle, and my wife and I, my wife Terry and I, took that vehicle back down on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation where we live, and we put him to work. We called him Amos, and he was kind of a famous Amos, but not too many knew where he lived. So anyway, the story about Amos was that he would pull wagons full of kids. He would pull wagons full of hay. He would help us with our horses. He would help us go here and there. I used him in funerals. He hauled caskets. He was a workhorse. And I was coming home one night, did a home visit, and I was on my way home. It was pretty late at night, and come up over the hill, and there was a bunch of cattle in the road. Make a long story short, I hit one, and we had a horrific wreck, and they totaled Amos out. The point of it all is that Speed the Light vehicles are very, very important to those of us that are out there doing what we do, because what we do, we're able to because of what you do, because of your support. So from the bottom of our hearts, Pilamaye, which means thank you for your support for Speed the Light. So I encourage you, because Speed the Light is very, very important to the missionaries. How many say amen?
Amen.
Oh, man, let's do that again. How many say amen?
Amen.
There, now, I thought maybe half of you already left and got to the restaurant, but maybe not. We live in Wombly, South Dakota. It's located on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation of South Dakota. I was going to wow you with all kinds of pictures and all kinds of stuff on the board, and you were just going to be amazed at all of my computer abilities. But how many know computers have a mind of their own? So this morning, I'm going to rely on something called our imagination. You with me? Amen. Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, second largest reservation in the United States. Covers 2.1 million acres. There are almost 47,000 members, and the average life expectancy is 66.81. It's the lowest in the United States. There are 3,143 countries, if you will, in the U.S., and the Ogallala County has the lowest per capita income in the United States. 42.4% of the population is younger than 20 years old. 19.8% is older than 50. We have an 89% unemployment rate. The median household income, $26,721. The U.S. average, $53,482. School dropout rate is 70%. Tuberculosis on the reservation is 800% higher than anywhere in the United States. Infant mortality rate is 300% higher. Teen suicide rate is 150% higher than the national average. Some of the things that we have to look at are the things that we are faced with on a day-to-day basis. Alcohol, drugs, unemployment, despair, no hope. Emptiness, no support at home. Most of the kids have been diagnosed with ADD. I mean, I've heard of ADD, alcohol, and I mean, ADS, every kind of alcohol thing related, every kind of disease related, and the biggest one that most of the kids experience on the reservation is the MDS. missing dad syndrome. Because the reality is that they live usually in a three-bedroom home, two-bedroom home, maybe a four-bedroom home, designed for a family of normalcy, and there may be 35 to 45 people living in that home. Kids have told me that, I said, what do you got for a bed? And they said, well, I have a pile of blankets, and I usually put the blankets over there against the wall someplace out of the way. And they got, you know, Uncle so-and-so, and he's out back making meth. You have nobody in the home that encourages them to move on. Nobody in the home that will stand with them because of all of the things that are supposedly against them. But how many know that in the atmosphere of despair, our Lord, Jesus, can make a difference? An encounter with Jesus will make a difference in someone's life if we just continue to do one thing. And that is, you remember that song, you don't put it under the table, but you put it out here. That, what was it? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. They have to understand that there is hope someplace. And that is found in Jesus. And Jesus can be right where they are. They don't have to get all dressed up and get all cleaned up to encounter Jesus. He will find them. How many know that his word says he would leave the 99 and go look for the one? I don't know about you, but I'm glad he left the 99 and went looking for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, man. COVID. How many experienced the COVID catastrophe? COVID last year. I was going to come here a couple years ago. We had everything ready. And I was with some friends. We went down into St. Louis area. And the people down there, they donated toys for our Christmas outreach. Went down there, picked them all up. Make a long story short, we're on our way back, and the guy that was with me discovered that he had been exposed to COVID, and he probably had COVID, and so we had to stop everything right there instead of coming here. And we drove all the way straight through, went home. He got in his vehicle, went back up to North Dakota. So I've been 2 years. You have been, I don't know how to explain this, but I've been a long time coming to get here. So you should be really excited that I'm here this morning. Hey, praise the Lord. You know, here's the thing. I was working at the school. I was driving the school bus pre-COVID because they said you have to get the shot. You can't drive bus if you don't get the shot. I said, I don't need the shot. I've already had that disease. I don't need it. You don't get the shot, you don't drive, you're done working. Okie doke. Next year they call me. We think about coming back? Yeah, I'll think about coming back. But I ain't going to get the shot. Oh, well, I said, I don't need it. So last year, call me again. Hey, they dropped this mandate where you have to get a shot to work, drive school. You want to come? I said, I'll come and help you. So I'm back to driving school bus. God changed one of my routes. So that I pick up the local kids in the afternoon and take them home. I'm driving along. This is just last week. We do a big outreach the first weekend in October called the Harvest Festival. We just had it last Saturday. We had over 300 people out at our place all day long. We do hot dogs, snow cones, zip lines, horses, pumpkin patch, horse ride, hay ride, you name it, we do it. And I thought, how in the world am I going to tell all these kids about the Harvest Fest? And my bus has got an intercom system. And it's like, I must have been a God moment, like a light went on in here, you know, in this dark space up here. Oh, well, I could just use the intercom. So I started telling them about coming to Harvest Festival. And there was a friend of ours coming from Minnesota, and he had a trailer full of bicycles. And I said, we're going to get bicycles away, and you're going to get pumpkins. Boy, when I said bicycles, man, every kid in that bus was listening. They all showed up. And we have what we call a pumpkin story. Anybody ever know about the pumpkin story? You take a pumpkin, and you draw a sad face. You talk about all the junk that's inside and how we're like that pumpkin. We got all that yucky stuff inside, and we're all sad because all of the sin and all that stuff in us is this bad. And then you have another pumpkin that's got a smiling face. And you say, and Jesus comes along, and he takes all that yucky stuff, and he takes it out of you, and he cleans you up, and he cleans you out, and then he puts a light in you, and you light the light in that pumpkin. Simple little story, but I'll tell you, it's effective. We even had adults that were sitting with their children that accepted the Lord. That should be one of them, yeah, amen moments. You with me? I'm telling you, a simple little thing like a pumpkin can have an impact. So, we talked about the rock and roll radio station. My old bus gets early in the morning. I start picking up kids. My old bus has a radio. It just gets one little station every once in a while. It's a rock and roll station out of Rapid City. So they play Def Leppard and AC/DC and I don't know what all. But it's kind of noisy. And so I just play it because the kids like it. Because they're jamming out. Monday mornings, the time varies, but it's usually between 7 and 7:30. Has anybody ever heard of the preacher in the patch? He's a preacher up in Williston, North Dakota. And he has a short little sermonette message. And I'm driving along and listening. They're playing this rock and roll stuff, and I'm listening to it. And all of a sudden, I hear this guy talking about Jesus. And I turned it up. And those kids, every Monday morning, they get a short little sermonette. Now, we got to mull through the rock and roll, AC/DC, and Def Leppard, and all that stuff, but just for a little short time, they hear about Jesus, making connections and meeting them where they are. My wife is putting together, anybody ever heard of Celebrate Recovery? Yep. Well, she started Celebrate Recovery at our church. And there's a group came down and they were handing out these grease rags. And it had like the Serenity Prayer on one side and a prayer on the other. And they go to Sturgis and hand out them grease rags. And so one of the people that I work with, I took one of those grease rags, and he's not anti-God, but he's not right there. You with me? And I took that grease rag, and he's kind of a mechanic guy. And I said, I got something for you. I said, I got a grease rag that'll just blow you out of the water. I handed him that grease, and he was looking at that prayer and serenity prayer. Wow, he said that. And you know what? Simple little things like a grease rag or a pumpkin can make a connection and make a difference in somebody's life. I do a morning mail out. I started this way back when COVID first started doing, and I mail out, it's a through the internet, and I mail out devotions. And how many know that if you're doing something for the Lord and you're really sincere about it, there's going to be some days that you just don't feel like doing it. Anybody in that boat besides? Okay, I got a few of you in here. All right. And you just, oh, okay. And I keep mailing out the devotions. I got a young man on that list that is totally against God, totally against everything that churchy. But yet, he reads them devotionals. And he's been asking for prayer because he's been sick. I heard from one lady. She sent me a thumbs up. She said, that's a great word for today. I hadn't heard from that lady for over 3 years. You see, there's some mornings when God sends me something like that, it's an encouragement to me to keep doing what I'm doing. And that's what you have to understand this morning, church, is that you need to keep doing what you're doing here, so that we can keep doing what we're doing over there. Because we're doing what we're doing over there because you're doing what you're doing over here. We need your prayers. Above anything else, we need your prayers. The archery program. We got an archery program. We got bows, compound bows, arrows, set up the targets, 3D targets. My wife went to a training. She got through the Game Fish and Parks, and they got a whole bunch more supplies and targets and all kinds of stuff. And here's the thing. The kids come, and they eat that archery up like it's bread and butter. They love it. And we got a group from Ohio that comes out every year and puts on an archery program for them kids. And it's making a difference. Why? Because it's connecting. Simplicity. And once you start it, don't stop. We do a program called the Life Skills Program. The Life Skills Program is doing life skills and then keeping it so that they can have an understanding that they can take their hands and go get a job. They can take their hands and go be successful. Pre-COVID, we did a welding class. Had a guy, a welding instructor, come up from Colorado, put on this, the life skills. He was going to do the welding thing. We got a bunch of old well pipe donated. We're going to build a loadout chute. We got a few cows and some horses, and we're going to build a chute. And so the kids got to use welders and cutting torches and grinders and all that stuff that goes along with it. And here's the thing. There was a young man named Edward. Went through the program. I mean, just ate it up like it was peanut butter and jelly. Just loved it. So about almost 3 years later, the school that he was going to, they how many know what, I don't know the right word for it, but it's like a bunch of colleges, like and trade schools, and they have like a fair, and they bring all the kids, and they expose them to all this stuff. So they're going down the line, and the teachers and the kids and stuff, and they come by this one trade school, Mitchell Voltech, I think it's called, or something, and they got a welding program there. And they're going along, and Edward says, I know how to do that. And the teacher said, you know how to do what? He said, I know how to weld, and I know how to do that cutting torch. He said, how do you know how to do that? And he said, because I learned it at Pastor Gus and Terry's place. The seeds that we plant, you never know when they're going to take root. But understand something. If you keep praying for the seeds that we plant, someday those seeds are going to take root and begin to blossom. And if you will stand with us, life skills, welding, carpentry, small engine repair, sewing, cooking. I don't know what the what your gift is, but each one of you have a gift. You could come out there and give it away. Because let me ask you a question. Where would you be if God took it away from you? We had a gentleman come from Colorado, put on a program. Handyman program. What's a handyman? It's somebody that can go to a piece of sheetrock, cut out where somebody put a hole in it, and patch it. Check the oil in a car. Know how to put air in a tire. Know how to put WD-40 on a door so it doesn't squeak. And the list goes on and on. The little simple things. But yet, old Eddie was his name. Just a little bitty guy. And he was old. I mean, he was older than Methuselah. And those kids just loved him. And he was so patient and so gentle with them kids. And he would show them how to cut that sheetrock out and how to put the one in, how to put the mud on it, so on and so forth. Those are the things that God is beginning to bring back to life to our reservation. COVID shut us down completely. COVID wrecked the church on the reservation. But I can tell you this much, God's not done yet. We have an outreach called a soup kettle ministry. Soup kettle ministry is that we will come to your town and we'll have a service and we bring a kettle full of soup and we have all testimonies and we have excitement and we have fun and we feed them. And we took our bouncy houses and we rent to a little place called Red Shirt. Red Shirt is clear over on the northwest corner of the reservation. You want to talk Boondock City, man? That was it. We had an outreach over there, and there was a lady there that was on fire. She wanted more of God. So we went back again, and we encouraged her. Let's get this in, and the school opened their arms and welcomed her in. You can use the school. You can have a Bible study. You can have a church service. And now we have a church beginning to start in Red Shirt that never existed before. Why? Because of a simple thing called a kettle of soup. Simplicity. That's what Jesus likes about life. Simplicity. This morning when we were singing praise and worship, and that little girl, where'd she go? Who she belong to? I thought, that is so awesome. See that little girl, and you remember when Jesus, all them church people, they were just so angry. What are you doing letting those children, get those children out of here? Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, you know what? The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as him. He said, you better get down on their level, son. That so encouraged me. See that little girl come up here in front, looking around, and you know, because of this, how are they going to learn unless we teach them? We got to teach them. I'm telling you, God is at work at the life skills. We're going to have life skills this coming summer. You want to be a part of it? Give me a call. I don't know what your gift is, but I can tell you, I was talking to Pastor earlier about this. Think about this. We get some old lawnmowers donated, and you're a mechanic. And you don't mechanic like I do. I mechanic with a hammer and a pry bar. If it don't work, I got a bigger hammer. But we'll get some kids together, and you come, and you bring your tools, and we got this old lawnmower, and you tear it down, and clean it up, and put it back together. Can you imagine the sense of accomplishment that kid reached down on that rope and pulled that rope, and that lawnmower would start? And then you encourage that kid, say, you can take what you learned here in this, and you can go get a job working. You can go get a job at the local Ford or Chevy or Dodge or what, you know. Start your own business. Because you see, they don't need another handout. They need a hand up. And that hand up is say, you know, put your hand up and I'll come and help you. And we'll go do these things. We'll help you figure a way to, we'll help you get involved. How many know that's what Jesus did? Jesus was a helper. We have not only life skills. My wife started Women in the Word. Wombly on Tuesday nights. Pretty powerful stuff. We got A on Wednesday night. Celebrate Recovery Friday night. We got Family Night on Saturday night. We got a lot of nights with a lot of things going on. But how are they going to hear? Unless we take the time to tell them. And how are they going to see unless we take the time to show them? Remember? Put that light out there where they can see it. Think about this for a moment. We had a hoop barn. Anybody know what a hoop barn is? It's made out of canvas, and it's a half dome like that. And we had a group, in fact, Sioux Falls First men's group come and helped us put it together, and some other guys, and we got together, and we built the building, and we were using it for our horse program. And we have veterinarians come twice a year to our place, and they just came a couple, 3 weeks ago. And anyway, we do the horse ministry part of it. We do out at our place at the Glory Ranch. And make a long story short, the hoop barn was really nice because you could get in there out of the weather and you could work on horses. And it was just nice. And we had a straight line wind come through. And my wife was standing at the kitchen window and she looked out. And that wind just picked that hoop barn up like that, straight up in the air, about 60 foot. Flipped it over and just slammed it to the ground, just totally destroyed it. Well, Do you have insurance? No, I didn't have insurance. Why didn't you have insurance? Because most of the time we get enough money to pay the electrical bills, and that's about all we got left over. How many know our God will supply over and above that what we could ever imagine? I went and spoke at a church in Minnesota about a year ago. A friend of mine that goes to church there, they caught the vision. I said, well, we can just make some kind of a frame and we'll use that old tarp from the hoop barn and we'll make like a windbreak thing and we'll do ministry there. And one of the guys in the church, contractor, carpenter, he said, no. He said, we're going to come and build a building. We're going to come and build a building for the Lord because it's going to be something that God will show you that God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So they came. 24 by 40 building stands to the glory of God. Got a great big door, goes up. We do ministry in there. When we had Harvest Festival, we put all the small kids' games in there. Duck pond, basketball throw, ball throw, hoop toss, all that kind of stuff. Before that, we did, last summer, we did a horse and Bible camp outreach. First one we ever done. Tremendous success. Had about 20-some kids that came. So we put tents together. They went out in our yard. They pitched the tents. All the kids slept in our yard. And we just loved on them. And taught them stuff about horses. You know, there's more to horses than just getting on and riding. There's a lot of work that goes to a horse. Somebody say amen. Amen. So that's our multi-purpose building. And it stands bright red. Oh, man. Are you excited to know that God is still doing things? Even though we think that he can't? Even though that we think that there's no way that we can ever get a building replaced because we don't have the money. And God said, don't worry about that. Quit chasing after the things like that. He said, be focused on fishing. That's all you got to do. What? Just be focused on fishing. And I don't know about you, but I can understand a string and a hook and a little thing to make it go round and round. I can understand fishing. You see, that's why he talks to us the way he does, so that we will understand. He brings it down to our level. And that, my friends, is what the people on the reservation need to understand, is that Jesus is accessible on their level. This summer, Native American Fellowship with the Assembly of God. I got some title, whatever it is. But anyway, I'm the North Central Regional Director, blah, 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 for Native American Fellowship. I don't get hung up on titles, so just be with me on this, okay? We raised enough money to take some youth to the National Native American Fellowship Youth Convention in Dallas, Texas. How did we do that? Just started praying and believing and trusting that our God would supply all of our needs. We needed to come up with enough money to take them to Dallas, Texas. Not only did we have enough money to go to Dallas, Texas, but the vehicle broke down. We needed to rent a car. We had enough money that we paid for the rental car. We get down to Dallas, and we pull in there. Oh, we're so excited coming to the motel room. They said, and I had had these reservations for over 3 months, going in there, going to check in. We don't have you listed. How many know that anytime you want to do something for God, the enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking those to whom he can devour? And if he's seeking to devour you, he's going to discourage you first. Well, now what are we going to do? We don't have no motel. We're in Dallas, Texas, for land's sakes. The guy behind the desk, he said, I got a friend, I got a motel just down here, made two phone calls, and we had rooms, blah, 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 and there's a blink of an eye. How many know that the name of Jesus has the authority and the power over the enemy, the duplicator, the one that tries to destroy, the one that tries to discourage? You ever been discouraged? I'm telling you. Have a hoop barn get totally destroyed right before your very eyes, and there's nothing you can do about it, knowing that you ain't got enough money to replace it. Discouragement. Knowing that no matter what you do, there's a fight. They try to shut the churches down. The tribe tried to shut the churches down because of COVID. Because of somebody's not thinking very good and handing out flyers that they shouldn't have. So all I can tell you is in Psalm 60, verse 12, it says, with God, we will gain the victory. And he will trample down our enemy. I don't know about you, but that's one I hang on to. Why? Because it's a battle, a daily battle, from the time we get up till the time we go to bed. But you know what? We're winning one by one. And with your help and with your prayers, we're going to continue to win them one by one. On behalf of my wife, Terry, and I, we thank you for your blessings that you allowed me to come here this morning. My wife, Terry, is in Wombly doing the church service there, my better half. So when you go and talk about that missionary who was there on Sunday, you can say, you know, he was only half there because he said that. But I can tell you this much. Every day, we're one day closer. Every day, we're one day closer to Jesus coming back. Don't quit what you're doing here. You got some activities coming up. I seen them. And the breakfast thing, and you're going to go through the book of Revelation. Man, I'll tell you, I'd drive over here just to do that, just to sit under the teaching of pastor. And so let me encourage you to be an encouragement to your pastor. October. It's pastor appreciation. Show him. Show his family. Show all of them that are involved in the ministry in this church that you're so thankful. Because you know what? I appreciate him. And you should too. Thank you.